Blog Talk Radio.
You don't know how good people really are, but in preseason game,
you could think you can really look at the world through rose-colored glasses. And I would say the latest one to do that, this is, I don't know whether it's going to be a pretender or, you know, the next starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but how about Dak Prescott? This in a fourth rounder, and he looks like he should have been a first rounder first pick. What did you think of Dak?
I like him. And I'm going to tell you, Bobby, from what I've seen of the Cowboys this year, I like them. And
yeah.
I think they got a good shot at doing some good things because not only do they have somebody that's capable of stepping in, you know, if and when, it's just a matter of time because it happens every year when Romo gets hurt. Bobby, I'd start this kid.
Well,
I really would. I've seen a lot of him in the preseason. I saw him, you know, in the Ram game. And I think I've never been high. You know this on Tony Romo. I think he's a China doll. He gets hurt way too often. But you can't take away his knowledge and his grittiness when it comes to playing the game. And I think you put a headset on him, help him with this kid. And I got to tell you, I think the Cowboys could surprise a lot of people this year.
Yeah, well, Prescott had 12 of 15 in his passing, 199 yards total through the air, 28 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns through the air, 2 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, the kid averaged about 12 yards every time he touched the ball. Not per completion. Every time he touched the ball. Now, that's off the charts. So, anyway, and the other thing, I loved his answer. The reporters asked, well, how did this guy fall all the way down to the fourth row? What happened? What have you changed since then to now? He said he worked his tail off working on his weaknesses. Why don't other people look at where they are and do the same thing, whether you're a receiver or one of these highly touted quarterbacks? That's what you want in a kid. You want somebody who says, hey, this is where I'm weak, and this is what I'm going to do. They said that through the pre-draft process, he trained in Orlando with a private coach, a guy by the name of Tom Shaw. Well, let's get Tom Shaw for all of the Raiders quarterbacks and put him to work.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense to me. How many times have we discussed players in baseball that go up and they can't bunt the ball? Basics. This is stuff, guys, that you should learn in Little League, for God's sakes. NBA player, a college player that goes to the free throw line can't buy a free throw. You know, it frustrates the hell out of me. And Bobby, these are guys that are getting millions of dollars to play the game, and they can't do the basic thing to help their team. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, can you imagine how good Chris Carter would be if he had a strike zone? The guy hits 28 home runs. He's going to close in on 100 RBIs this year. And if he knew the strike zone, the guy would be a Hall of Famer. He would be.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I sit here on a nightly basis, and I just my stomach is just churning inside watching these guys that come up. Nobody out. Runners at first and second, and the guy can't put down a bunt to advance the runners. The guy can't hit a sack fly to advance the runners, bring in the tie. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. You know, why are you getting these contracts for, you know, $200 million and you can't do the basic fundamental thing to help your team. You know,
right.
Bobby, what about the shift? You know, the whole left side of the infield is nobody's there. And
it's high time that some of the batters started taking advantage of the shift and
yeah.
It is not hard to have bat lag and have the ball go the other way. It doesn't have to go very fast or very hard. I mean, you're looking at probably, unless there's a runner ahead of you, almost a sure double if you're a left-handed hitter and roll one to the left, roll one to the through the whole shortstop. You've got a double no matter what you do, if it's a ground ball.
Yeah. And, I mean, these are games, you can't wrap me out and say, well, Hat, this must have been a game that you gave out, or this is a game you have money on yourself. No, this is the fundamentals of the game, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just to sit there and watch it is disgusting.
Let me interject here. When you're saying fundamentals of baseball, it's even really more critical than that, because you're talking about the fundamentals of every postseason. How many times do we watch in the postseason the pitching dominate? And if a team cannot move a runner from second to third with no outs, score a runner from third with zero or one outs, they're going to lose, because that's the way you win in the postseason. You don't win with a three-run homer in the postseason because these guys don't make those mistakes.
Right.
I completely agree. I was
sitting here watching a game with Hondo, must have been maybe a month and a half ago. And this was a game that I admit that I had given out, and we needed to, the team was not scoring any runs. You got first and second, you got the shift on, and or maybe there was a runner on first, and I forget what the entire situation was. They had the shift on, and I looked over at Hondo, and I said, "Can you please tell me why he just can't drop a bunt for a single?" And Hondo told me something, Bobby, that makes a lot of sense. It's like, well, the players have it in their mind now. You're not paying me to bunt.
Yeah.
They want to get on ESPN. They want to hit these massive home runs, and it's frustrating. It's changed the game, anyway.
Hey, think if you're a fan. Where's Chris Carter playing now? Is he playing Milwaukee or Houston? I can't remember where Carter's at, and I think he's maybe in Milwaukee. But think of this: if you're a fan of his team, and he comes up with a runner on third base and nobody out,
no.
I'm thinking this: you've got a better chance of surviving Russian roulette with five bullets in the gun than of Chris Carter making contact. This is a guy. He's now, I think, his real ratio is close to two strikeouts per game, and he hits like one home run every 17, 18 at-bats. So he's going to end up with like 40 home runs and close to 300 strikeouts. Ouch! Ouch!
Another player that's like that reminds me is Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard can hit the ball a country mile.
Yeah.
You give him three curveballs, and he looks like a 100 little league hitter. And, it's just, I don't understand it. I just don't. So
I got to give you one cold pitcher that you got to keep your eye on. Besides Jared Weaver, which we know about, I got to tell you, Steven Strasburg, if he doesn't turn it around, the Nationals will be in trouble in the postseason. But his last three games, he's got an ERA of 14.66. 14 in his last three games. On the season, he's 15-4, but his ERA has jumped from about 2.5 to 3.5 in these last three games. And his whip has gone from 1.03, so now it's 1.11. Holy cow.
You know, they start, you know, the old dead arm theory. You know, I've thrown too many pitches. You know, how long, you know, Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax, you know, the great players, Bobby, you know, in the past. And, you know, we got all these war numbers and all this crap. You know, we're worrying about the trajectory of the baseball, what the exit speed is off the bat, and all this crap and nonsense, which is totally meaningless. And, you know, and then we, you know, I don't know. It's like anything else.
Wait, by the way, we're talking about pitchers that are in trouble. Captain Cutup himself, Chris Sale, hasn't really done anything since that episode July 24th where he cut up his throwback uniform. His last six starts, he's almost buried himself. He's allowed 20 earned runs, 38 hits over 40 innings during this winless period. Yikes.
Yeah, I know. Karma. It's called karma.
Well,
You got to wonder, too, what's going on in the clubhouse. How many friends and teammates he alienated with that episode. I don't know. That to me, that just to me shows you got a little bit of a screw loose, you know, when you start doing that stuff. I told you a couple weeks ago, Bobby, if a team wants to sign me and pay me these inflated prices, and I go to the ballpark and there's a pink tutu in my locker room, and they say, Ed, we want you to wear this tonight. I'm like, well, I hope it fits. I got no problem with whatever you want me to put on. You're going to pay me $200 million to play a game that's a child's game. I'll wear whatever they want me to wear. I got no problem with it. It just goes to show you that these guys sometimes, Boppy, they get a little full of themselves.
Hey, if we have time on the other side of the break, I'd like to talk about the Olympic swimmers and their shenanigans. I may give you a perspective on it, if we have time.
All right. Let's head out to Del Mar real quick. We're going to get a free play out for everybody. This is in the first race, and this is the number 3 horse, Fair Advantage. Now, we're stepping outside the box a little bit here, folks, with this guy, but we like the 8-1 morning line price. We like the barn. He's coming in from Churchill. Our clockers have reported to us that they like his local workout, 48-4. Actually, I'm sorry, it's 114 over the track on August 13th, 114. He's in from Churchill, and we give him a big look with Stuart Elliott in the irons. First race out at Del Mar, number 3, Fair Advantage. All right, we're going to take our first and only timeout. When we come back, we'll have a couple of free plays. And Bobby wants to give some insight on the Olympic swimmers. And so this is your cue. Go refresh your beverage of choice. And when we return, we'll have the second half of Keeping Score with Bobby.
It's on. Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them 7 and winning all them pots. My luck was so good I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally, they just threw up their hand and said, when you hot,
playing baseball, and then we walked through the hallways
banging our bat on the cement as we walked. And we didn't, I mean, we really didn't do anything. And we went through the hallways to go to our lockers to put some things away so we didn't have to bring them to school the next day. All right, so anyway, that's what was the reality. We were confronted by a policeman with his gun drawn saying we had broken into the high school administration office and, you know, that we were carrying the tools of burglary, the bats, and he was taking us in. I mean, we were scared. It was at that point that I think, I can't remember the guy's name, but a vice principal walked out the door and said, officer, I forgot to turn off the alarm. I was the one that set it off. But that's how, it looked like one thing to the policeman. It was something else. But if there isn't somebody else there that says this is what it was, they didn't do anything, you know, we'd have been in real trouble. Now, let me say this. Everybody's making fun of Ryan Lochte for saying that they were robbed. Let me ask you this. If you're in this country and you're pulling out of Burger King or somewhere or a Shell station and you're confronted by a security guard with his gun drawn and he demands money from you, you may call it a fine or paying for damage, but that's a strong arm tactic. Isn't that robbery? When you've got a that's not due process.
Bobby, these guys all returned to the Olympic Village with the items that they said was robbed, though. Am I not right? They have videotape.
I thought the money was taken.
No. They said their wallets and cell phones were taken, but yet it shows them coming back to the Olympic Village, getting scanned, and they're putting their cell phones and they're putting their wallets into the trays and picking them up and walking back to their rooms. This was a fabricated, lied story that has no truth to it.
Well, if it has no merit whatsoever, shame on them. But I'm just saying, it could have been something else.
Well, I mean, yeah, they have a right to, you know, to have everything fully investigated. But I don't know. I don't even know why you would even. Well, you know, I'm not going to try to even figure it out because.
What I'm getting at is Rio is one of the highest crime cities in the world, and they're right on the edge of that kind of an area. That's all I'm getting at.
Well, I don't know why you would say your cell phone and wallet was stolen when it wasn't. I don't know. And could have been a lot of situations. Could have been a lot of reasons why they did it. On the top of the list is youth and stupidity, and that's certainly forgivable. You know, nobody's perfect. You know, we've all made mistakes in life, and we all deserve 2-3 chances. I think to redeem ourselves, but I don't know. That to me baffles me, and hopefully the truth and the real truth will come out and exonerate these kids because they're over there representing the United States, and, you know, that's what you want to happen. Hopefully it will. But you brought up a good point. You know, I mean, sometimes – you know, the situation that's laid out is not really what it is, but, you know, we'll see. We'll find out, hopefully. All right, folks, well, we have hit our time for the week, and we hope that we have you back listening to us next week, same time, same place, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. And Bobby, it's that time. Go ahead and say it.
Be safe, be careful, and God bless. We'll see you all next week, Lord willing.
All right, folks, good luck with your wagers. We hope we gave you some winners this weekend. Until next week, good luck. We hope to see you in the cashier's line, and we'll talk to you next week.